basketball appointment show starts now. This is Bucks Weekly, your weekly checkup of your Milwaukee Bucks and all around the rest of the NBA. And now here's your host, Justin Garcia.
All right, welcome back after 5 months, basically. Season ending much more abruptly than we imagined back in the spring, but after a lengthy, busy, and I think productive, certainly a notable offseason for the Bucks, we are right back in the swing of things. It is the season debut of Bucks Weekly. Next week, 1 week from today, we have Bucks Media Day, which we will have coverage of for you on next week's show, and we are 2 weeks away from the preseason getting started. So we are fully in basketball season, and to fill some time in the offseason, if you kept up with your Milwaukee Bucks late in the offseason, you noticed a couple of things, and that was two of their stars making their highly anticipated podcast debuts. Chris Middleton and, of course, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis's interview, much more notable. We'll get to the Chris one in just a moment. But one of the men that had the privilege of interviewing Giannis on the 48 Minutes podcast joins us now, Michael Freer. You can follow him on Twitter at World B Freer, the letter B. Michael, thanks for joining us. How you doing tonight? I do want to start with the interview with Giannis. So I'm not going to go through, man, how did you guys score Giannis and all of that, but your takeaways from all of the reaction that you guys certainly saw to, I think, the notable questions having to do with his future in Milwaukee, but just how that discourse has certainly evolved in the last couple of weeks since your interview and another interview that Giannis gave earlier in the offseason.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, first off, props go out to, our co-host Ross Geiger, who is a good friend of Giannis, who knew him back when he was a rookie, and he was on when Ross was on the staff with Milwaukee, and they got to be really close and good friends that continue, obviously, to this day. So he gets all the credit for that. Privilege, first of all, to have him for the interview. I found him to be, this is my first interaction with him, found him to be pretty genuine. He seems to be a really nice guy. You guys up there, you deal with him on a regular basis or know him better than I do, but he seems like a really nice guy. He was very genuine. That he gave, I talked about it in a podcast episode later on that week, really I guess that's about open he was about his answers. He wasn't mean. He wasn't complaining. He just gave direct answers about everything. And I'll tell you this. This is a little naive on my part. Appreciate what it meant to actually interview of that stature. Because the next day and the rest of the week, I mean, everything the guy says, a select few out there, everything he says makes news. It was really fun to see, and really obviously great for us. But the reaction was just, I'm expecting, but I don't know if I was expecting that.
So again, the 48 Minutes podcast is the platform and where this interview took place. The funny part, I mentioned two Bucks superstars, but Chris Middleton would make his podcast debut with J.J. Redick a day apart from Giannis doing that interview with you guys. And you mentioned you did a second episode as well, basically dissecting his comments. And really, the big one, as I mentioned before, was the point-blank question of Giannis, you're a loyal guy and you seem to be a great fit in Milwaukee. Do you see yourself there long-term? The answer he gave you guys, not different from the interview that he gave to the New York Times earlier in the summer, and some other comments that he's made in this offseason. I know we have seen, it seems like you're on one end of the spectrum or the other, that you are either saying these comments aren't good, and I take this to mean there's trouble brewing. You go back to as soon as the Bucks season ended, and Brian Windhorst using that phrase of there's storm clouds brewing with Mark Lazary selling his share of ownership in the team. Comments like this: we went through this 3 years ago as well when Giannis was up for an extension. Or the opposite end seems to be that of fans saying, well, we heard a lot of the same stuff, maybe not quite as much from Giannis himself 3 years ago, and look what happened. And again, what you pointed out, how genuine he is even in these interviews and the loyalty and all of that. I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but parsing through what he had said to you guys, where do you stand on this?
If there's reason to be nervous, but I think he put it out there, and if you look at the makeup of the roster, and I'm sure you guys have, and everybody the fan there has, and not for him necessarily to be concerned about him leaving, but think about that roster in a couple of years when his player option comes up. And by the way, I don't know the rules, but be the first person to actually turn down a $50 million-plus option, player option, and go free agent. That would be another thing to put on your resume. But in 2 years, which is built for now, possibly next year, I'm not totally convinced on that, but certainly built for now. But in 2 years, Drew Holiday is going to be, 35? And Brooke Lopez will be 37. Middleton will be 34. And I think he wants to make sure job as a GM and not look ahead like this. He just wants to make sure, I think, without, I don't know anything more than what he said. I don't have any other, great inside knowledge or whatever. I heard what you guys heard. He's looking at that roster too, going, okay, in 2 years, you want me to resign. What are we doing in 2 years? Are we sticking with this group? Because, and people, and I heard other Americans on ESPN, they did a segment based off of the interview, and he said if he was a teammate of Giannis, he'd feel disrespected. Well, I mean, that's fair. It's not, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but that's a fair thing. He's a player. He's been in the league longer than I have. But, if you go later on in that interview, and you heard it too, association, and he called Drew Holiday his greatest teammate ever, and he emphasized ever. So it's not a shot at the team or the teammates, I don't think. And Chris didn't act like it was, he was insulted by anything. But I think, if you're a Bucks fan or you're Giannis or you're whatever, you look at that roster 2 years from now when his option comes up and what's going to happen with that roster. Because you and I both know, you're not going to win a title with the guys at that group at that age, I don't think.
You're not running it back. You're not doing the same thing you did in the offseason 2 years from now and saying, okay, maybe we win a title between now and then, and let's do this again to that point of the age. Yeah, I think that's my big takeaway is, I mean, we've seen LeBron do this countless times and years when he was in Cleveland, where you want to keep the pressure on the front office, and rightfully so, to say, hey, I know you've done things in the past, but just because I'm a loyal guy doesn't mean we can take our foot off the gas. Like, what are you going to do to keep us competitive? And to your point, the 2 years from now is what I'm most interested in. I feel good about this group now, but we're going to be really old in 2 years. So what is plan B going from there is my takeaway to a lot of what Giannis said. I don't think there's a definitive answer on what the future holds for him, but I think that's essentially what he told you guys, what he said in other interviews throughout this off season as well. I mentioned again that the podcast is 48 minutes. It's with Michael Freer here, Ross Geiger, and Bruce Bernstein, and that's where you'll find that Giannis interview. They did a second episode as well with some more takeaways and a deeper dive into that about a week ago. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. Before I do let you go here, Michael, just the Eastern Conference in general, it's been very interesting, where we saw the Celtics kind of in a spot that the Bucks were in a couple of years ago, where just not working, you got to make some type of change. They bring in Kristaps Porzingis and send out a big piece in Marcus Smart. Who knows what's going to happen with Philadelphia? Same can be said for Miami. And then you have this Bucks team, which I think the over-under was 51 or 52.5 wins.
I'll take the over, by the way.
Okay, so that's, I know there's a lot of unknown, but where would you stand? And you're taking the over.
This is up to lose, much as it was last year. What the Celtics did change, it wasn't it was a dramatic change. The Celtics decided, I think, was, you know, we're just going all in on offense. Porzingis is a good defender, but we're going to just try and outscore you, because at the end of the day, they really didn't solve, and it's who's defending Giannis when the going gets tough. You're not putting Porzingis on him. We've seen what that result is. So they hadn't really addressed that issue. But I do like the Celtics, who, by the way, only had one fewer win here to be in there. And then, like you said, after that, it's really is a crapshoot.
Yeah,
be honest, Philly is a mess right now, which is a shame, because you're just wasting Joel Embiid's years.
I'm not. Let me interrupt you there. I don't think we feel like that's a shame, Michael. I think Bucks fans are fine with Philly being a mess.
I'm a Knicks fan. The Sixers can go 0-82 for all I care. But you know, if you look at it from, you know, without your fan goggles and stuff like we all like to do, you know, here's Joel Embiid in the prime of his career, and you're just dealing with this mess. That's where I was going with that. But I agree with you. It wouldn't break my heart. It doesn't break my heart to see him in chaos in Philly. Have a chance to get to 50 wins. I don't think they're a championship contender. Cleveland is another one where I don't know where to make Cleveland after the way they bowed out in the playoffs. Yeah. So, but, you know, they had such a good year, and they really were went out softly in the playoffs in the first round to the Knicks. So it's really the Bucks to lose, and I think they should have no problem if everybody's healthy. I think it's the issue with this Bucks team. You know, the big four that they have there dominated when they're on the court, but they only played 149 minutes together last year. That's not going to get it done.
It's a big if. 2 years in a row that we've seen injuries play a big role in cutting the Bucks season short. 48 Minutes is the name of the podcast. Giannis was the big interview, but you guys had Mike Brown of the Kings on the following week. So
great guy, by the way.
Yeah, wherever you get your podcast, be sure to check that one out. Michael, thanks for taking some time. I know you guys got another show to tape tonight. Good to catch up with you.
Yeah, thank you. Anytime, just give me a call. I appreciate it.
Sounds good. Michael Freer of the 48 Minutes podcast with his thoughts on this offseason here for the Bucks. A lot to get to in the next 40 minutes on this show. I do want to get into some more of those comments. We'll play some of that interview and some of the big comments that Giannis made on that podcast when we come back. And also some very, very interesting comments from Chris Middleton. As I mentioned, he made his first ever appearance on a podcast just a day before Giannis did that, on J.J. Redick's Old Man and the Three podcast. We'll play you some of those. Take a look at this offseason for the Bucks. We mentioned high level what other teams like the Celtics did, how the Sixers and the Heat are in a holding pattern. What does that mean for the rest of the Eastern Conference? We'll get into all of that and time to hear from you as well as Bucks Weekly continues after this.
If the Milwaukee Bucks were on the same page for the rest of my career, great. If not, I have to win. I have to win. And I think the city and people will understand it, you know, because I'm one of the most competitive guys. And I've gave everything I can for the city of Milwaukee. I bleed green. I'm a Milwaukee Buck, but most importantly, I'm a winner. I want to win. And I have to do whatever it takes for me to win. And if there's a better situation for me to win the Larry O'Brien, I have to take that better situation.
That is Giannis on the 48 Minutes podcast. A lot of the same thoughts, comments that we read in that interview with the New York Times, I believe it was, earlier in the summer. We'll bring in Tommy here, the voice of the fan. When you listen to that, I've seen a lot of writings on the wall that, you know, he said the fact that he's citing, I think the city would understand, and some past tense that he threw out there. Do you, the common fan, who can relate to just about anybody in the audience, do you take that or do you take something else from what he said?
No, I'm pretty confident in trusting whatever Giannis says, whatever he's going to do. I think that he's become not only just an important athlete for the state and the city's history, but an important ambassador for that. So I think what he's doing is keeping pressure on ownership to keep this team competitive and keep this team on the right track so that this isn't just let's capitalize now. It's let's capitalize for a long time and let's use this window of a generational player and keep trying to be as competitive as possible. And I think that only adds pressure to ownership, but in a good way.
So if you are a true diehard Bucks fan, I would just caution with this. Maybe don't listen to a lot of the national podcasts and shows. The Hoop Collective with Brian Windhorst has been one. Brian Windhorst seemingly leaning towards, yeah, I think he's leaving.
Well, we've played this game once already.
Right. Nate Duncan, his Dunked On show, just today, his latest show with John Hollinger, former league executive. He's just under, it seemed like, 90% certain. Yeah, I think Giannis is leaving. So, like, that's what you're going to get. A lot of national takes is, these comments don't sound great. I think a part of it, I think we, as Milwaukeeans and fans, can inflate this and overblow this at times of the national media doesn't care about Milwaukee. They just want Giannis to leave and get out of the small market. I don't think that's the driving force behind this. But you know what you're going to get. So don't be startled. Don't be surprised to hear a lot of these national voices say, well, Giannis is leaving, and take that stance. I don't have an answer one way or another. We went through this 3 years ago, and it was a lot of the same thought of, you know, going into that offseason. Start of the season. I don't think he's going to sign the extension. That doesn't mean he's not going to be in Milwaukee. I just don't think it behooves him to sign this. Lo and behold, signed it right before, right after, whenever it was, sometime around his birthday. And that was the weird year with the start time in December. We said for months going into the offseason, at the end of the season last year, you knew this is going to be one of the main talking points. Nationally, in Milwaukee, this is going to be one of the big stories, is what happens with Giannis. He's one of the three best players in the NBA. Any team would love to have him. And he's got 2 years left. So prepare yourself for this discourse. We tried to tell you back in the spring, he's not going to sign the extension this fall. It makes no sense for him to. Number one, keep the pressure on. And then just wait and see where things are in a year. So you should not be surprised by that. I think one of the things that Michael Freer brought up is my big takeaway from this. It's not so much right now, the here and now. You know, as long as we're all on the same page, and as long as they're doing everything that they can to keep us competitive, and as long as we're doing everything we can to win, that's what I'm looking for. Well, you cannot say this ownership group, John Horst, whoever it is, you cannot make a case that hasn't been done for the last 3+ years. Like, we talked about what Boston did. This isn't working. We got to do something else. So you ship out Marcus Smart, who's a big piece and a driving force of that team, to bring in something different in Kristaps Porzingis. Bucks kind of did that a couple of years ago when we knew we've tried, but this just isn't working. This Eric Bledsoe experience. Time to go get Drew Holiday. You did that, you won a title. You did some other tinkering. You bring in P.J. Tucker. This ownership group has done everything they can to keep this team competitive and a championship contender. They have spent, if we go back to the summer of 2021, the first day of free agency, doom and gloom. Why? Because PJ Tucker left. And I think we all rushed to judgment on that. Well, I think that clearly means this ownership group isn't committed to winning. They got their title, and now they're going to try to cut corners. Well, that just wasn't the case. We can relitigate whether or not that was a mistake to let PJ Tucker walk. I think in the short term it was. And I think we saw that in that 2021-22 season. I think it helps to have PJ Tucker in that series against the Boston Celtics. Does that mean you win without Chris Middleton? I'm not convinced. But it looked really bad for that year. Then we went through last year, and you saw the same thing happen. Well, wait a minute. Why did the same thing happen in a second team with PJ Tucker with his abrupt exit from the Miami Heat? And don't fool yourself either. PJ Tucker leaving Milwaukee to go to a team that is maybe the most hated by Bucks fans had a lot to do with those feelings of him leaving as well. But I think we saw last year, well, I don't know. Was it a mistake a year ago? Sure. Is it a massive hole right now? I don't know. And this looks like it may have diminishing returns. But long story short, this group spent. They've spent more and more money every single year. They've kept this group together. They've kept Giannis's family on the roster or close to the team as well. This group is committed to winning and doing whatever it takes. But the big point in what Giannis got to, I think, without saying it, is I feel good about what we have. But what about 2 years? I love Chris. I love Drew. I love Brooke. But this is an old group in 2 years. And I don't think we can just say, hey, Giannis, you love playing with, we'll bring him back again. It's going to be a really old group. So I think this is more, number one, keeping the pressure on the organization. And honestly, let's see where we're at in 2 years. But also, guys, we got to start to think of a plan B. We can't just be the old team. What are we going to do when some of these contracts start to come up? And Giannis has already said, I'm not interested in rebuilding. So what are we doing to stay competitive in 2 years when we got a lot of moving pieces on this roster?
Let me just, you know, keep it, say it as simple as I can. But at the end of the day, if in the Milwaukee Bucks organization, which is the same thing I say every single year I've been with the Bucks, as long as we are in for a championship, as long as nobody's comfortable, as long as everybody sacrifices the same amount of time and sweat and blood that I've sacrificed for this city to win a championship, we are all good. The moment I feel like people are complacent and they're okay, by being comfortable, I cannot reach my full potential. Every year I try to get better every year, and that's the approach I have for the game, is that's the approach I have for life. I don't want to be comfortable. I want us to win another championship, you know, but as long as we play and we approach the game every single day the right way and we all sacrifice for a common goal, I can see myself being in Milwaukee Bucks for the rest of my career. But the moment I feel like people are not committed as I am to get that golden pin in the back, I am not. You know, I am. It's more than the money. It's more than the fame. It's more than the lobsters. It's more than the wine. For me, it's all about that. And I want that.
And again, I think reading between the lines, this is Giannis saying, look, 2 years from now, what are we going to do? Because and he's already said this, maybe not quite as bluntly, but he's said it. I'm not sticking around for a rebuild. Like, we can't get to 2 years from now and have all these contracts come up and say, okay, we tried. Maybe we got another title. We might have bucked the trend as well to be this smaller market team and keep this group together for, what, 7 years and be a competitive for championship level team. We did it, but now we got to take a pause for a couple of years and start to rebuild because, look, that's number one, it's not my DNA. And number two, it's not on Giannis's timeline either. That's my takeaway from those Giannis comments. Chris Middleton made some very similar comments, but he touched on a lot of things with J.J. Redick. In case you missed it, you may have, because it was just a day removed from Giannis making those comments. But Chris Middleton on a whole lot of things. The coaching change, injuries, what happened 2 years ago, the exit against the Miami Heat and their defense in that series. We'll get to all of those comments from Chris after this. Bucks Weekly continues. All right, so Giannis wasn't the only one making headlines this offseason. Number one, let's start from the top here. We had a coaching change. Adrian Griffin, the new head coach of the Bucks. We will hear a lot from Adrian Griffin next week. Media day is Monday afternoon. And you know, we heard from Adrian at the introductory press conference. I've talked about this on other shows. I am most looking forward to what this offense looks like under Adrian Griffin, because the foundation is there defensively. You have the individual talent in Giannis, in Drew, in Brooke Lopez. And I think you have all those principles in place as well. I don't think you're going to see a copycat of what Bud did defensively. I don't think you're going to completely back away from it. I don't think this is going to be, hey, we're not going to play any drop defense. When you got Brooke Lopez, you got to play some of that. But there's going to be some different principles in place. There's going to be some different schemes defensively. But I'm more looking forward to how does this offense evolve? Because we talked about this in the past. Really, the last couple of years, that was the issue. And look, not having Chris Middleton in 2022, that's going to hurt offensively. But, I mean, that series against the Boston Celtics, the fact that the Bucks even stretched that to seven games is a testament to the competitors on that roster, to the defensive ability, and maybe a knock on what the Boston Celtics were doing as well, because there was nothing offensively. That was a rock fight for seven games that we saw. The half-court offense was brutal for both teams. How do you fix that? Same last year. The offense wasn't great against the Miami Heat. So how do you fix that? I'm curious to see what Adrian Griffin changes there. Because if we go back 5 years ago, when the Bucks hired Bud, and look, we talked about this quite a bit on the season finale of Bucks Talk. The what, 3 hour show that we did, Tommy?
Three and change, I think.
We took it to what, 2 in the morning?
Two or three in the morning, something like that.
Bud may well go down as the greatest coach in franchise history. He is one of two head coaches to win a title here. Just as Larry Costello did, not only did he win a title, he kept this team competitive and in the title picture. He changed a lot. He changed the culture here. He lifted this organization. He raised the floor of this organization, of that group. He helped Giannis become an MVP. He helped Chris Middleton become a perennial all-star. There are no negative takeaways from the Mike Budenholzer tenure here in Milwaukee. But when he came to Milwaukee, you remember the conversation was this team hadn't gotten out of the first round in 20 years. And year after year, they fell short. You thought it was going to happen against, maybe they can do it against the Raptors, right? You steal game one in Toronto, and then Norm Powell happens throughout the course of that series. You come back from a 20-point deficit in game six and ultimately still lose and get eliminated. The following year, you play the Celtics. You're a seventh seed, still disappointed that you couldn't push up, because that was the other big takeaway. Not only did they not get out of the first round for 20 years, the Bucks were essentially a 6, 7, or 8 seed for 20 years. After that 0-1 team that fell just short of reaching the finals, you were never higher than sixth. And you were a 7 seed. When you play the Celtics without Kyrie Irving, it goes to 7 games. You thought maybe this is when they finally break through, and it just didn't happen. So Bud arrives, and the prevailing thought is, well, this was the guy. This was the hot coaching hire. Maybe this means we can be a top 4 seed now. As long as we get home court advantage, great. And maybe we can win a first round series. Start 7-0. They're the 1 seed. They're the 1 seed the following year. They win a title the year after that. But to me, the most jarring thing of Bud's arrival was the changes on offense. Preseason, sure, but I remember sitting there and being in the arena for those preseason games and seeing the amount of threes that team was putting up and thinking, holy cow, this team has moved from one end of the spectrum to the other. I'm not saying it's going to be the same with Adrian Griffin, but he's already talked about some of the, maybe it's not going to be let it fly, but we're going to shoot threes. They're just going to be better threes. So I'm curious to see what this offense looks like under Adrian Griffin. And again, we'll find out a lot of that next week and the week after when the preseason finally begins. One of the big pieces in that offense of Adrian Griffin is going to be Chris Middleton. His health is going to be imperative. He talked about that with J.J. Redick. He talked about that series against the Miami Heat. And he talked about that year we touched on earlier, 2022. What happened with the injuries? And how close was he to returning? We'll hear some of Chris's thoughts after this on Bucks Weekly. Thinking,
it's time for a change. Get out of the rain. All right, it's been a weird offseason because we've had 5 months, more time than ever before, and this has been a combination of things. You go back to, I mentioned two straight one seeds, that 19-20 year, of course, we know, ended in the bubble, ended in disappointment, but you had the stop and start due to a pandemic. The offseason for the Bucks began right before Labor Day that year. I will never forget that experience of the bubble games and broadcasting from inside an empty Fiserv Forum, but it ended right before Labor Day. The following or the next season started up in December, so you had about 3 months of downtime there. And then that was the year the Bucks win the title. The season ends in July, late July. Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday hop on a plane 3-4 days after the finals, 2 days after the parade, go to Tokyo, participate in the Olympics. And then, oh, by the way, we're back to a normal schedule here. So it has been three straight strange off seasons, but this finally gave you some reset. The reset is probably important more than anybody, or most important, for Chris Middleton because of everything we touched on, the injuries. And he really talked about this in great detail with J.J. Redick on the Old Man and the Three podcast 2 weeks ago. Going back to that 2022 season, just how bizarre the ending was. Remember, no Chris slips on a wet spot in the series against the Bulls. You close out Chicago in the first round without him, but you don't have him for any of that series against the Boston Celtics. And towards the end of that series, the Bucks go up 3-2, and there is this growing sentiment from some that, hey, Chris Middleton's going to come back. There's some fraudulent reporting that was going on of, I've heard Chris is ready to play, and he's going to be here for Game 7 if they need it. Lo and behold, Chris Middleton did not play in Game 7. And I think we cautioned you at the time as well. We would know if Chris is going to play. Like, you go back a year prior, they win the finals. You knew Giannis was going to play. You started to hear that rumbling. We didn't hear it other than, like, one voice, maybe two. Like, I heard Chris is going to play. So how close was Chris Middleton to playing in that series against the Celtics, or had the Bucks won in the conference finals against the Heat?
If y'all had won that series, would you have been able to play at any point in the next series? Like, how close were you?
I honestly don't know. I mean, I was working out, was very limited in what I was able to do. So it was more of a day-by-day, week-by-week thing where my teammates would ask me, every day, every week, how close are you? I didn't have an answer for them. The answer I was getting from the trainers and the doctors is it's like your ligament has to heal, and we don't know how long that could take. So it was really literally a day-by-day, week-by-week thing as far as working out and seeing what I can do and how I felt.
I honestly don't know is basically Chris saying no. I couldn't have played. There was uncertainty. We know how cautious this organization is and their medical staff. He wasn't going to play. Maybe he could have played in the finals. But in greater detail, he talks about everything he dealt with in 2022, which ultimately bled into last year as well.
I could walk in a straight line. Fine. I could run up and down.
Yeah.
Turning, I couldn't do. So it was that. So once the season ended, I really wasn't focused on that.
Yeah.
Doctors told me, you stay off of it.
Stay off of it, rest.
It's going to be fine, yeah, yeah. Whatever. What really got me was my wrist situation, where doctor told me the same thing after season, let your wrist, you know, calm down, don't do anything, don't shoot, don't lift weights for a couple of weeks, and it should be fine. Come back 3 to 4 weeks later, start getting back going, my wrist is still the same. And that's when I realized I need to have surgery.
What was wrong with your wrist exactly?
Tore ligament. I can't pronounce it. Starts from the S. My doctor told me it's the ACL joint or ACL ligament of your wrist.
Basically. Is your shooting wrist?
Left wrist.
Left wrist.
So I couldn't do a push-up. I couldn't do a push-up half the season. Didn't, just thought, fell on it wrong, it would be fine. Just keep getting it banged. Yeah. Whatever. Still something you could play through with not much pain. Just didn't go away.
And you played through it all season?
Half the season.
Half the season.
Half the season.
That's interesting. We don't get credit for that, though.
No.
We don't get credit for
there's
that.
There's a lot of injuries that everybody goes through during the season, but like you've heard all the time, that doesn't matter. Like,
it doesn't matter.
Everybody's going through something.
Everybody's going through something.
If you can play, if you can run up and down, if you can do your job, go out there and do it.
100%.
Yeah.
So those were the comments about the injuries. And again, it was a lot. I've made this point before. More than anybody else, Chris Middleton probably went through the most the last 3 years. Those injuries and the rehab and Eric Name of the Athletic outlined what Chris's typical offseason is and some of those knee issues that he dealt with every single year before finally getting that cleaned up this year. But the Olympics, the finals, and how that stretched out there, it was a lot for Chris Middleton. And I think you started to see that early into the season. So he is most focused on his health. He had 5 months of no season. I'm not going to say 5 months off. He had 5 months of no season, which should benefit him more than anybody else. The other thing that you can't help but wonder, okay, if you're talking to a member of the Bucks, what's their take on this? This being what we all poured over and over last year, last spring, Jimmy Butler going supernova in that first round series. Chris Middleton with his thoughts on how the Bucks defended Jimmy Butler. We'll get to that and we'll wrap up the show after this on Bucks Weekly. Final few minutes here of Bucks Weekly. We will be back next week. As I mentioned, it is media day next Monday, so we'll recap that, bring you some sound from media day from new coach Adrian Griffin, some of the new members of the team as well, and any of the big takeaways. But before we do get out of here, what everybody wanted to know about the way the season ended, any second thoughts on how this team defended Jimmy Butler?
It's tough to contain sometimes. I think especially if we don't throw double teams at them. So that's one thing we talked about, just didn't do it. That wasn't the game plan we wanted to go with. We wanted to go with Drew because we have a lot of trust in Drew, his track record, what he's done, what he's known for. And we have the most confidence in all our teammates. If they speak on something and said, this is what I want to do, especially with a guy like Drew, we're going to listen to him more times than not. But that series, man, you seen some of the shots that Jimmy hit. Like you said, they were hot. They weren't shooting like that all season long. And in the playoff series, they hit their stride at the right time. So as a player, it's just when your teammate is known for what he does, but what's happening on the other end, with a guy like Drew, there's not much you could say. I mean, because Drew is playing defense at an all-time high level. He's just making shots over him. I think the only thing we could have done differently to maybe change the outcome of the way Jimmy plays to double team him. We didn't do it. That was a decision we made as a team, as a group, and we got to live with that result.
All right, so a lot to unpack from that. And again, you know my thoughts on Bud. At the risk of being called a shill for the team, I will leave it at that. But I think if you read between the lines, you know how Chris and the rest of the players felt about that coverage on Jimmy Butler. Next week, next Monday, 1 week from today, is Media Day. We'll recap that for you and get you set for the preseason, which begins later on that week. 2 weeks from yesterday, the Bucks' first preseason game. It is a home game. You can hear it here on WTMJ. My thanks to Mike Michael Freer for joining us. Tommy Wirtz for producing the show. We will talk to you next week with more Bucks Weekly.